I did not ask that he must prove his word is true to me, and that before I can believe, he first must let me see. It is enough for me to know 'tis true because he says 'tis so. In his unchanging word I'll stand and trust till I can understand. E. M. Winter. Good morning and welcome to Through Their Message. I come to you from Foundations Bible Church, where the week of August 4th through the 8th, we will be spending a root and tootin' time at Wonder Junction, where the young ones can learn to marvel at who Jesus is and the things that he has done, and learn how to live in his glory. The kids always have a great time. It is open for everyone ages K-4 through 6th grade, and we welcome you to come join us. In Genesis 15 and 6, Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Righteousness means purity of heart and rectitude, morality and uprightness of life, conformity of heart and life to the divine law. Righteousness, as used in scripture and theology, in what it is chiefly used, is nearly equivalent to holiness. Comprehending holy principles and affections of heart and conformity of life to the divine law. It includes all we call justice and honesty and virtue, with holy affections. In short, it is true religion. Applied to God, the perfection of holiness of his nature is faithfulness, the active and passive obedience of Christ by which the law of God is filled, Daniel 9 and 7. From Luke 1 and 75, justice, equity between man and man, the cause of our justification. And from Jeremiah 23 and 6, the Lord, our righteousness. Some modern words that are the same as in meaning are all right, decent, ethical, good, honest, honorable, just, moral, nice, right, right-minded, straight, true, upright, and virtuous. The opposite in meaning are words such as bad, black, dishonest, dishonorable, evil, evil-minded, immoral, indecent, sinful, unethical, unrighteous, wicked, and wrong. Today there is no call to holiness when using the word righteousness to describe someone. It is more attributed to being something that brushes up against holiness but never connects the two together. It's like stepping up to the line and never crossing over it. It leaves one thinking he's good enough and never stepping out to the greatness that was planned for them. Its meaning is not lost in the translation. It has been changed to make life easier and more open to everyone. And in that, there are not a few who will stand outside the gates of heaven, but there will be many, because they will not have understood how they, in their own eyes, they who were good people, stand here yet, and they hear Jesus telling them, "Away from me, I never knew you." Abraham's journey during this time is a reminder for us as how we are to come to God. In what it takes to open our hearts, our minds, and to believe, God calls each of us to himself. It is just that some will answer, some will remember the conversation, some will accept the terms and the conditions, some will feel that it's just too much of a burden, and some will just flat out tell God to be on his way. They have life all figured out, and he's not a part of it. Oh, there are none so blind as those who will not see. Abraham was old in age when God first told him that he would become the father of many nations, that his offspring would be as numerous as the grains of sand or the stars in the heavens. In other words, beyond counting or measure, and throughout the generations, this would become true. And even though Abraham could not understand how he, at this old age, could possibly have children, yet alone become the father of nations, he believed that what God was telling him, was promising to him, would in fact be true. And in that faith, that believing what God was telling him was true, God credited to him his righteousness. He blessed Abraham, and the relationship that would follow continued to grow stronger and stronger. And Abraham's faith grew, his thanksgiving knew no bounds, and his life and name continue to this day to be an example of the simplicity of belief. Do we today believe that that same power that came upon Abraham and Sarah in the blessing them with a child at old age is possible? What do we believe is possible with God today? Is anything? Has the world gone so far to the left that the tilt we are now in cannot be righted by anything? Are we too far gone to be saved? God asks the question in Isaiah 40 and 25, "To whom will you compare me, or whom is my equal?" says the Holy One. In Isaiah 46 and 5, "To whom will you compare me, or count me equal? To whom will you liken me, that we may be compared? There is no one." Paul reminds us of this in 1 Corinthians 8 and 6, "Yet for us there is but one God the Father, from whom all things came, and for whom we live, and there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came, and through whom we live. There is but one God, and he alone holds the power to call out the righteous and to judge the wicked. There are no others before him. There were no others, and there shall be none that come following after him. All power and glory, majesty are his and his alone. He created all that there is, ever was, all that there is or ever will be. Everything is his, whether the cattle on a thousand hills, the child in the womb of a woman, the place where you lay your head down at night. And yet we fight over these things that belong to him. We destroy and throw away those that belong to him. We are consumed by what we do have and how much we have, forgetting that it is his hands that grant or take away all that we have before us. In Romans 4:20-24, we are reminded, "Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words 'it was credited to him' were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus from the dead." Romans 4:18 starts out, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed." Against all hope, do you ever feel like that? Do you ever look at the situation you were in and stand frozen, whether in fear or shock, and wonder where or how this is going to happen? Because every scenario you play out in your head shows this thing going off the rails. God has a plan for us collectively and individually. Our individual path will bring us together collectively, and together with one purpose, one goal, with one heart, to serve the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And in that, we will love him, ourselves, and our neighbors as ourselves, but it must come in that order. God never panics. He never struggles. He never is surprised by anything. He never falters, never fails. He never backs down on a promise given. He is not dependent on anyone. He's the same today as he was at the beginning or will be at the end. God will lay judgment upon a people, a city, and a nation because of the collective actions of the individuals as they proudly displayed their dark and rebellious hearts. He hears the cries of his people, those he calls his own and those who have yet to acknowledge him. He will use circumstances as teachable moments, as faith-building moments, as moments of a great awakening. And you will know when God is calling you. Your heart will tell you that there is something going on and that there are things in your life you need to revisit, to reconsider, and to change, and to turn away from. And you may ask yourself, why now? How can this be? And what should I do? And the answer is to say, "Yes, Lord." And then don't continue to speak for a moment, but listen. And let him woo you to himself. You cannot find God. It is God who has found you. That is the most beautiful and yet mystifying part of it all. Because if you are like me, you ask yourself, why would he care about me? I don't know. But he does. Why should he hear my cries, my pleas? Who am I to him? I don't know, but he will. Why would he give himself for me? I don't know, but he did. And I don't need to have all the answers to believe. I just need to believe. And to each of us he comes, and we come into a relationship with him by our coming to believe in his power, his majesty, and that he is who he says he is, and there is none to whom can compare. Does your heart cry out for him? Does your mind seek him out? Does your eye look for him and your ear listen for his voice? There's a song titled, "Just As I Am, I Come," and it has become a favorite for me upon hearing it. For me, it describes my every need, my belief that God can do something to meet those needs, and I am reminded, as Jesus says, that if I have faith the size of a mustard seed, that seed will grow. But first I must acknowledge and come. I don't need to have all the answers to come. I need only to believe in the one who calls me by my name. I come broken to be mended, Lord. I come wounded to be healed, Lord. I come desperate, Lord, to be rescued, and I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb, and I am welcomed with open arms, praise God, just as I am. Righteousness is not being good. It is being able to stand in the presence of God and knowing His love. To Abraham it was credited as righteousness. What can be said of you?